The New York Nonprofit Press, the industry standard for nonprofits, is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher at nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning and welcome to the Nonprofit Voice. I'm Allison Brecker, your host of the show, and I interview inspiring women in our community who give back to other communities in need and transform other people's lives. And my guest today is Justine Henning, who is the founder and CEO of Math for Science, which is a nonprofit based in Brooklyn. Have your children ever come home from school and told you that they're losing interest in a subject because they cannot understand how they're going to use it in their day-to-day life? My guest today, Justine Henning, is trying to change all of that by reforming the way that math is taught in our schools. Welcome, Justine. Thank you so much for coming out here from Brooklyn to join us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me, Allison.
So what is Math for Science?
Math for Science is a math curriculum that we're designing for kindergartners through 12th graders out of interviews we do with scientists, computer technologists, engineers, and mathematicians, the people in the STEM workforce.
And STEM stands for?
Science, technology, by which we usually mean computer technology, engineering, and math.
And it's really part of the whole Common Core movement, isn't it, to have more STEM focus in our schools?
That's true. One of the things that Common Core math has been changing is they've been adding more statistics to the curriculum and trying to give kids more problems that apply to the real world.
Well, changing the whole educational system, Justine, I have to say, is a pretty big goal. Why is this your goal?
It is very ambitious. Well, there are a few answers to that question. One is that when I was in grammar school, I really loved math. And I continued to love it through high school. I took the upper level math classes. And when I was getting ready to go to college, I was thinking about, well, what should I study in college? And I asked someone this question at my high school, an adult there. And I said, I love math. I love learning languages. And they said, well, definitely don't study any math in college because math in college is very abstract and has nothing to do with the real world. And I was young. I figured, this is a grown-up. They know what they're talking about. I got to college. I went to Harvard University, where there's a math test you take when you get in, and it's a placement test. I took that test. I passed out of math, and I didn't take another math class until many years later, which I could talk about later. And I now realize that math at the college level has everything to do with the real world. So Math for Science is one of our goals is to make sure that kids learn in math class just how important math is and just how useful it can be to study math beyond high school so that you can become a scientist, engineer, applied mathematician or technologist and help build the world and make it a better place.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about all the different research that you did to build this new curriculum and what your curriculum is that you hope to bring into some of the public schools. But what is it about math in the K through 12 curriculum that troubles you so much and the way that it's taught?
Well, first of all, there are many wonderful teachers out there inspiring kids and doing great work. So I don't want to lose sight of the fact that there already are a lot of good things happening. And in fact, I think that things have been changing for the better lately, thanks in part to the Common Core and also to the efforts of many different teachers around the country. But
teachers' hands are tied, aren't they?
Yeah, they often have many students in the classroom, and they work with materials that are often written by people who aren't themselves educators. That's one of the things we're changing. It's educators who are writing our math content, people who are experienced with children. And teachers... Well, basically, what happened is that I took a homeschooling job many years ago, And I had to teach math for the first time. So I looked at many of the different curricula that were out there, and they seemed to range from textbooks that were very boring and simple and really didn't aim high. That was the main thing that I found. The standards were very, very low. To more fun, progressive textbooks that got kids to do hands-on projects and work in groups and think very, very deeply about the different subjects they were learning, but moved extremely slowly and also really in their own way aimed low. They asked kids to think about math, but they didn't ask them to learn very much of it, and they didn't ask them to become proficient. So there were sort of these two approaches, one very dry and one more engaging, but and they both had these low standards in their different ways.
Interesting. Well, there's a pretty vocal anti-Common Core movement, especially on Long Island, particularly around budget season and budget approval season, when you see lots of red signs with Common Core and a red slash through it. Parents are pretty adamant that the Common Core standards are horrible for children, and I think some of the main criticisms are, number one, like you were saying, that the standards themselves are not written by educators. They're written by corporations that obviously have a financial incentive to get their curriculum into the school. And number two, that the teachers are then forced to teach for the test, mm-hmm. because they get rated and evaluated based on their children's test scores. And that, of course, for the kids in schools, doesn't leave much time for exploration and other things that are sort of beyond the scope of the day-to-day curriculum that the teacher has to do. So what is Math for Science trying to do to change all of that?
We go into the classroom in schools as part of our M4S at School program, and we help, first of all, we train teachers, teaching them to engage kids more, opening up their minds to what can happen during math class. We give them our materials, which are online and always growing, and also customize those materials, helping teachers learn ways of connecting the math they're teaching to what scientists and engineers do. And we do pilot lessons, which engage kids in two ways. The first way is that we start every lesson with a question that every child sitting in the room can answer, so that even kids who think of themselves as people who aren't good at math or aren't interested in math are asked questions like, well, how do you get to school in the morning? Or have you ever seen a bear? What do you know about bears? Or sometimes very difficult questions like, have you known anyone who had chemotherapy? What was that like? And then we relate these questions to individual STEM professionals, scientists and engineers that we've interviewed, and show the kids pictures of these people who often look like them in ways that might surprise them. These people are often women. They're often members of minority groups, African Americans, Latinos. They might be people who didn't like math in school or weren't particularly great students. They might be people very interested in art. And so the kids can see, wait, I can relate to this person. First of all, what they do connects to my life and helps me get to school, helps keep bears safe and people safe from bears, helps make chocolate in some cases. And they also discover that the jobs these people have are really exciting as well as productive. And then, of course, most of the lesson is about math. We teach the math well. Over many years of working with kids as a tutor, I've learned what does work. People often talk in education about how, oh, no, we really don't know what makes a good teacher. We don't know what effective education really is. It's very difficult to pinpoint that. Well, when you sit day after day after day with all kinds of kids from different backgrounds and help them learn math, and you're sitting with them one-on-one, you can see what does work and what doesn't.
Well, my guest this morning is Justine Henning, who's the founder and CEO of Math for Science, a nonprofit organization that started in 2014, based in Brooklyn, that has the ambitious goal of completely reforming the way that math is taught in our public school curriculum. Justine, when you were developing your educational curriculum that you're going to bring into the K through 12 grades, how did you do that?
Well, first of all, that's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it will be for some time.
In terms of structuring the Math for Science lessons and what goes into a Math for Science unit, I basically thought about all of the teaching that I had done and what had worked and what hadn't. About how important it is to get kids to pay attention. When I used to teach English and social studies in a middle school classroom, I would mention the fact that I like rap music. It might not always be relevant to what I was teaching, but just the words rap music would make people wake up. I was working with adolescents, and so.
And as a former educator, what were kids struggling with when it came to math in particular? Mm-hmm. Was it just the feeling that some children had that they couldn't understand how it would apply to their day-to-day life, and so they really weren't engaged in the learning process?
Yes, you see a lot of that in the classroom. When we go into classrooms, kids are often actually raising their hands and saying, why do I need to learn algebra? When will this be relevant to me?
Mm-hmm. Well, so now it's one thing to have an idea about changing the education system and being part of that process. It's a totally different undertaking, of course, to actually start a nonprofit based around that. And how did you go about that process? You have board of directors, you have an advisory board. Mm-hmm. How did you go about attracting those people to your movement and to your cause?
That's a great question. The first thing that happened is I talked with a colleague I have who's also someone who's worked in education for several decades, Brendan Mernon. I told him about this idea that I'd had that took the question, well, how is this country going to attract more kids into STEM professions, the sciences, technology, engineering, and math, if kids don't even know what those careers are? I, frankly, didn't know what an engineer was for many years, despite the fact that my own grandfather was an engineer. So how are we going to attract them into these careers if they don't know what they are? And how can they then enter those careers if they don't have the math skills necessary? A lot of attention has been paid to the fact that internationally, American students tend to test fairly poorly in math and science. So my questions were really, how can we teach math better and how can we connect it to information about careers in STEM?
And so your website, of course, I've seen it, mathforscience.org, math4science.org, provides a whole host of resources. And can you talk about some of the profiles of some of these scientists and others that you have on your website, and what does that do for children?
Yes. Well, I'll start with applied entomologist Sarah Bushman, who was one of the first people we interviewed. She studies pollinators. So she goes into the blueberry fields of Maine and gathers bees and bumblebees, sees which different species are there and which types of flowers and other plants grow there. And this is, of course, very important. Many people know that the honeybee populations in this country have, and around the world actually, have been declining, and that this threatens very important crops that we grow to supply food.
So the profiles help kids make the connection of what they're learning in school to become inspired by other women and others that you highlight on your website to make the connection to a career path. That sort of the sense that kids get from what you post online?
Yes. There's a menu of field descriptions on our Explore Science pages. Kids can sort of look through the menu, see what looks interesting. Is it electrical engineering? Is it applied entomology? Is it carnivore ecology? And when they find a career that sounds interesting, they can click on the name of one of the people in that career and read their profile, see pictures of them, find out what inspired them to go into this field. Mm-hmm. And then they can, we're building an Explore Math program on our website as well, which will be free for students and teachers across the country. And they'll be able to go there and do math problems that connect to the work these people do.
So it's really a multi, I think of it as a multifaceted approach. You have a curriculum that you and your teachers try to bring into some of our local public schools. The kids can then go online, and as a supplement to what they're learning in school, they can not only do additional work and additional problem solving, they can also then connect it to a career that ties in with what they're learning in school, so that they never have to say, how am I going to use this in my life? Because they can simply click online and see right away how they can use it in their life in the form of a new career path.
That's exactly right.
And so your organization is having an upcoming event, as I understand it. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we're very excited about this. On July 28th in Brooklyn, film and television critics A.O. Scott of The New York Times, Wesley Morris, also of The New York Times, Emily Nussbaum of The New Yorker, and Alyssa Wilkinson of Christianity Today are going to talk about what's on their mind in terms of TV and film.
Right. So talk about connecting the curriculum, right, to that end. It certainly is it's certainly bringing current into things that kids see all the time on TV, online, and elsewhere.
Yes. And this is an important fundraiser for us. Proceeds from tickets will go to Math for Science and help us expand our Explore Math program, help us hire teachers who have experience with kids in the classroom to write all these math problems. And it also features Alyssa Wilkinson, who herself got a computer technology degree and then went on to write about movies and television. So one of the messages we're trying to give kids is that the world is not really divided between people who like math and science on the one hand and people who like the arts and humanities on the other.
Well, your message, Justine, and your mission of changing the way that math is taught in schools, it sounds so basic, but it's a very powerful statement. It's going to resonate with a lot of people who are listening. So where can people go if they want more information, either to volunteer of their time or donate, or if they just want to learn more about your curriculum for their own children?
We welcome volunteers. We welcome donations as well, and we're looking for significant support to help us as we build a major pilot program over the next 2 years. You can donate at our website, mathforscience.org. You can also email info@mathforscience.org to share your ideas with us, to ask your questions, and to volunteer. We have many different volunteers coming in. They are a vital part of our organization. I welcome help and ideas from everyone.
And parents in particular may, again, become very motivated by what you're trying to do, because, like I said, there's a very vocal trend around the anti-Common Core movement. And I see what Math for Science does as sort of a twist on that movement. You're not necessarily trying to eliminate Common Core. You're simply trying to teach math in a way that resonates more with children and shows how the curriculum can apply to their life. So a parent, though, might say, well, I'm not an educator. I don't know the first thing about teaching, but I am a parent. I am interested in helping to make positive change in schools. What can they do to help?
We have all kinds of organizational and administrative needs. I already have parents like that helping us, and I would love more. There's so much work to do when you're building a nonprofit.
Well, and not just any nonprofit, a nonprofit that is essentially trying to change the world in the way that math is taught in schools. I understand that you have already brought your curriculum into a few of the schools in Brooklyn and Manhattan. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, we have three partner schools in the New York City area, And there's been interest in our content expressed by after-school programs in New Jersey and charter schools in the New York area and New Jersey. We're also talking with people in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our STEM professionals are all over the country. We have sent one of our scientists into Urban Academy, a small high school in Manhattan, where we have volunteer presences in all of our partner schools, and we also train teachers and help the schools use our curriculum.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to learn a lot more about Math for Science and some of your success stories in our next segment. My guest this morning is Justine Henning, the founder and CEO of Math for Science, Math for Science. Their website is mathforscience.org. You can find them on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram, and soon to be in your local public schools, hopefully, if Justine has her way. And we'll be right back with more from Justine Henning.